6:07. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. It is Thursday, June 15, 2017. I remind you that County Supervisor Lynn Compton is going to be with us on Tuesday. Kevin Harris will be with us from San Luis Repertory Theater on Tuesday, right? And then on Wednesday, Connie O'Henley will be here from the Clark Center to officially unveil their season. Looks like she's got some exciting shows. We're here all the way till 7 o'clock this hour. Let me start it off this way. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. Matt, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Let's start with the Gun Violence Archive. These are the stats for 2017 on guns. Total number of incidents, 27,999. Number of gun deaths, 6,915. Number of injuries, 13,587. Mass shootings, 154. Officer involved incident, officer shot or killed, 134. Home invasion, 1,146. And I bet you're here to tell me we don't need to do anything about guns.
Oh, I think we need to do something about guns. I think we need to make it easier for law-abiding people to get guns.
All right. And if people don't know, you used to write for the Tribune. Your blog is?
Hoystory.com, H-Y-S-T-O-R-Y.
We're having the conversation in light of the tragedies, twin tragedies yesterday in San Francisco and Alexandria, Virginia. But don't those stats give you any kind of pause?
Well, they certainly do. I am not for, you know, I am not pro-gun violence. The thing is, those stats are a little bit deceptive. First off, if it's June and we're only at 6,900 deaths, this is a good year, frankly, because usually...
Man, are you cynical?
Well, the previous years, it's been about 30,000, okay? So we should be at 15. If we're only at 6, this is a pretty good year.
Still a lot.
It is a lot.
Okay.
The thing to realize is that about 2/3 of those 6 are suicides. And I don't mean to discount suicide. Suicide's a problem. It's something, you know, I certainly think that we should be spending more on mental health in this country. I think we should be doing more to help people who have mental problems, identifying those people, getting them treatment if they and if necessary, taking their guns away from them.
I think we should start by agreeing that the shooter in Alexandria, Virginia, who is now dead, was off his rocker. He was clearly mentally disturbed.
Yes.
All right. And the guy in San Francisco, apparently it was workplace. He had been fired. He was disgruntled.
Yes, disgruntled.
So
employee.
He had some issues too.
Right. People who go places to kill lots of people are all nuts. Normal people do not do that. So if you look at that, the typical number you hear, and again, in past years, it's been about 30,000 people die from gun violence a year. Breaking down those numbers, about 20,000 of them are suicides. About 2/3 of the gun violence deaths in this country are suicides. Okay. Again, tragic, but they're not killing someone else. Which leaves about 10,000. You look at those, that last 10,000, usually about 1,000 of those, give or take, are justifiable homicide. That's cops shooting the bad guy. That's this guy in Alexandria, Virginia, you know, getting killed yesterday. It's the guy in San Francisco committing suicide when approached by police, okay? The remaining 9,000 or so, about 8,000 of those are gang-related, okay? So if you look at, you know, kind of the ones that were...
But the mass shootings, 154 for the last 6 months.
How they count those is a little bit... First off, that's a mass shooting. It's not necessarily a situation where yesterday in Alexandria, Virginia was a mass shooting. No one died.
Well, the shooter died. Yeah,
yeah.
And the Steve Scalise is in serious injury. And we're just really lucky,
yes,
that he had the guards. Because
exactly.
If he hadn't shown up to the game, there'd be no guards, and there would be nobody to return fire.
Correct.
Okay.
And again, you know, Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA, gets mocked for this incessantly, but it's true. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. That happened in Alexandria, Virginia yesterday. It happened in San Francisco yesterday. The disgruntled employee at the UPS facility was still shooting people until cops showed up with guns. And at that point, he took his own life.
But I guess that becomes the question, Matt. And I know you haven't heard me on the show with guns, but I'm pretty much a Second Amendment guy. I don't own a gun. I would never own a gun. But I don't want to take away your gun unless you're mentally ill. Then you shouldn't have a gun. If you're a kid, you shouldn't have a gun. If you're mentally ill, if you have a criminal record, you probably shouldn't have a gun. But I'm not comfortable with the solution being we just go out and arm everybody.
No, I don't, and I don't think we should arm everyone. There are people who I think realize that, hey, you know, I'm not qualified. You know, I don't have the right mental attitude. I don't have the right kind of constitution to have a gun. Right. I don't want to force gun purchases on anyone.
Then who should be carrying a gun? Do you want to get rid of the carry laws?
I would be very happy, and this I'm kind of considered a moderate probably on the you know pro Second Amendment side. I'd be fine if California turned into a shall issue state.
Explain.
Currently, California is a may issue state, which means if you want a concealed carry permit, you have to go to your county sheriff or the chief of police, and he can say,
maybe.
You know, I don't like you. Something about you looks funny.
Right.
You don't have, you know, there's no good reason, in my opinion, as the police chief, for you to have a gun, so you don't get to carry one. Shall issue basically says, as long as you're not prohibited, as long as you're not a, you know, as long as you don't have a criminal record, as long as you don't have a restraining order out against you, as long as you, you know, don't have a history of mental illness, then we must issue you a concealed carry permit.
But I'm sure you're aware of the examples, and I could bring up the articles. The myth of the man with the gun, that there are times when someone who is armed creates worse problems. And the example that comes to mind is when Gabby Giffords, the congresswoman, was shot in Tucson. There was a guy with a gun who was shopping or something, and he came around and he pulled out his gun and he almost shot somebody who turned out not to be the shooter. He was mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And he, for some reason, he hesitated, and then he realized he was aiming at the wrong person. But the point being,
I'm not, but
here's my point, is that I'm all for law enforcement. I've got relatives in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Arm them. Give me more. But I'm not sure I want, no offense to you, but I'm sure I don't want you armed. Wandering. I don't want my protection to be from you.
Well, and here's the thing. It is what you discover with a lot of these cases, and I'm not sure exactly how to answer you on that Arizona situation, other than to say that he didn't shoot the innocent person.
Yeah, but he said he almost did.
Well, yeah. We almost do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know? Having the wisdom not to do that. But you've got situations. There was a situation just last month where on a deserted stretch of highway, I believe it was in Arizona, in the middle of the night, an Arizona police highway patrolman pulled over someone. The guy got the beat. The guy he pulled over got the jump on him and was straddling him and beating him to death. And a good guy with a gun, just a regular motorist, came over, said, "Hey, do you need help?" You know, told the guy to stop. Ended up shooting and killing the bad guy, saving the officer's life.
Just to clarify, Matt, before we go to break and start taking the phone calls, so your position basically is that as long as you're responsible and you have a clean record, you should be able to carry a gun wherever you go?
Wherever you go, with the exception of places like courthouses and whatnot that have metal detectors. If you are going through that sort of security where you're making sure that everyone is disarmed, then I'm fine with, you know, you prohibiting that. If you own
airports,
a private business.
Kind of thing.
You know, the unsecure areas of airports, I'm fine with. Once you go through.
Got to check it in.
You got to check it in.
Okay.
You got to put it in your luggage.
All right. Matt Hoy is on this broadcast. His website is?
Hoystory.com.
Giving us a lot to think about in terms of guns. We'll come back, continue the conversation, start welcoming your phone calls as well. I'd stick around. I'm Dave Congleton. This is AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Yeah, 6:20 on News Talk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. We got ABC Radio News at the bottom of the hour. We've got Matt Hoy in the studio. He offered to come in and talk about guns in light of the shootings yesterday in San Francisco and Alexandria, Virginia. More than 150 mass shootings have taken place in this country in the first 6 months of this year. Matt is promoting the idea of shall carry.
Yes.
Responsible citizens be allowed to carry weapons. Now, before I start taking phone calls, tell the story. You've got a personal stake in this.
Well, when I was working down in San Diego, my father is taught high school at Santana High School in Santee, California, for well over 30 years.
Okay.
And in 2001, I was at work one morning, and on the news comes news of a school shooting. And a student at Santana High School, this was in 2001, killed two students and wounded, what's the number? It was more than a dozen. And my dad was at school that day. My dad was teaching that day. And, you know, I'm of the, and my wife teaches at high school, and I'm of the opinion that, with proper training and with, proper supervision, that it's probably a good thing if it's more than just a single school resource officer carrying on a typical high school campus.
So what happened that day? Was your father in danger?
He was in danger. He was, I think, one or two buildings over from where most of the shooting took place. I can remember I left work to see if, you know, this was before cell phones were widespread. And so I can remember being worried to, you know, excuse the phrase, but worried to death that he had been injured in all this. Ended up going to where, to a school district facility that was just down the road from the campus, and I can remember seeing one of the teachers there covered head to toe in blood. One of the students who had died, he had held that student in his arms as that student basically bled out as they were waiting for, you know, officers to respond to subdue the school shooter.
So if we had armed school officers, you think this could have been prevented?
I'm not sure. Again, anyone who is intent on doing evil, I think, is going to do evil. Would it have prevented it? Probably not. Does the number, if you've got armed people nearby when one of these things happens, I think the odds that it doesn't become a mass shooting type of incident increases because you've got more people responding. Again, you know, the situation in San Francisco yesterday. As soon as cops with guns approached the guy, he chose suicide. And that's usually what happens, is as long as a mass shooter isn't confronted, as long as he has free rein, he will continue to do that. As soon as he is confronted, it's like,
We welcome your phone calls from Matt Hoy, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. It's only my opinion, but I think that the shooter yesterday in Virginia didn't know about Capitol Police. Had he known that there were going to be armed police there, he might not have shown up.
He might have waited for another day or until Scalise left with his security detail.
We got Steve in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
We're good, Dr. Steve. How are you, sir?
Just fine. I just wanted, and I know that sometimes on this topic I sound like a broken record, but I would just like to respectfully say that this notion of guns being in a home and serving as a deterrent and self-defense is a huge myth. And I know that you like statistics, so I'm going to give you some.
Okay.
There were 11,000 gun homicides last year, approximately. There were about 19,000 gun suicides, approximately. The last year that there's good data for is 2015, and there were 300 homicides related to self-defense. So that gun in the home is many, many, many times more likely to be used in an accidental death, a homicide, or a suicide that it's going to be used to protect yourself. And that's the reality of the situation.
Matt?
Well, mixing a couple things is the number of self-defense homicides was what number? You said 300?
Less than 300, about 260, I think.
A lot of these sorts of, you know, crimes, home invasions, whatnot, you're requiring someone die for that statistic to show up. Well, how about people? How about people who? How about some? You know, someone who charges into a home and they wound the people, and they use the gun in the home to wound the people. That doesn't show up.
Except
in your statistic.
We're talking about deaths.
No, we're talking about people
defending
themselves.
There's a lot of people wounded by guns, and those numbers would be far more than 11,000 a year. There's a lot of people that try to commit suicide with their gun and they're unsuccessful. That would be more than 19,000 a year. I'm just talking about deaths.
I think deaths just doesn't, you know, cover it, basically.
Well, I think it does cover it because I've seen multiple deaths by gunshot wounds, and everyone thinks they're the exception. Every child that I pronounced dead that was killed by a gun, their parents thought they were responsible gun owners. Every person that committed suicide with a gun, I'm sure they didn't buy it thinking, I'm going to kill myself with this. If you add injuries in, then we're talking about hundreds of thousands of injuries in homicides and suicides and accidental deaths. And yes, you're right, there would be more homes protected by their gun. But statistically, it's a fraction, a tiny fraction of the time that gun is going to be successful in protecting your home. Much more likely to be used to kill yourself or some member of your family in a suicide or a homicide.
All right, Dr. Steve, thank you very much. Any other comment?
You know, I've heard those numbers before. They are jerry-rigged. They're not true. I encourage people to read More Guns, Less Crime by John Lott. Right. Look into his the statistics and work that he's done.
Right. Jerry's in Santa Maria on KVEC. Hi, Jerry.
Hi there.
Hi.
I heard earlier that one of the requirements would be that the gun carrier would have to be educated. Would that mean that people who don't get training and pass it would not be able to get a gun or should not be able to get a gun?
I got 30 seconds for you to explain.
Well, I said I would be fine with shall issue. In California, if you want a CCW, a concealed carry weapon license, you do have to take an 8-hour training course the first time and 4 hours each time you renew.
All right, Jerry, thank you. Matt Hoy, more of your phone calls straight ahead. I'm Dave Congleton. It has to be Hometown Radio. We're talking guns. Matt Hoy, conservative blogger, is on this broadcast. His website is?
HoyStory.com.
I'm not putting words in your mouth, Matt, but your argument seems to be the more people we arm, the safer we're going to be.
I think that would generally be the case. Again, I don't want to force anyone who doesn't want a gun.
But if you want to carry a gun in public, go for it.
I think that the numbers generally bear out the fact that that generally does make us safer.
All right. Here's another doctor. Here's Dr. Paul Giorgio, retired emergency room physician on the line. Dr. Paul, good evening.
Good evening, Dave. Thanks for the chance.
Sure.
You know, I'm not meaning to pile on and following Dr. Steve, but I'll just share. I've been a gun owner myself. I had a .22 long rifle.
Have you killed
never
anyone
wanted
with
to have
that gun?
A handgun in my house. But I live out on a ranch, and so there was always a chance we might have some rabid vermin out there. And I even did a little target shooting with it. I got to admit, once I became a grandfather, I didn't even want that, even my .22 in the house at the ranch anymore. I gave it away to the San Luis Police Department. But Dr. Steve's right. Statistically, you purchase a gun, it's far more likely that gun is going to take your life or the life of a family member. or a friend. It's not going to be for somebody, for an intruder coming into your house. It's not that I want to impede anybody's right to bear arms. You know, if they want to be part of a well-regulated militia as enshrined in the Constitution, it's fine. But you've got to be realistic about this. And I concur with everything Dr. Steve said. I've seen way so much gun violence coming through the emergency department, and I have yet in my career, for all the hundreds that I've seen wounded and killed, I have yet to see one where there was someone who had an intruder, a home invasion, that they had shot someone, right, and in self-defense.
Hang on, Dr. Paul. What do you say, Matt?
Well, I'd first note that you owned guns for decades, I'm guessing?
Yeah. No, I just had one. I just had a 22 right, long rifle at the ranch. Uh-huh.
The idea that these guns, you know, somehow, you know, I'm sorry, but the statistic that you're more likely to, you know, get yourself killed, get a family member killed, or than ever used in a defensive gun use, I think is just flat out false.
But the FBI says that.
No, there have been various studies of defensive gun uses, and the number of defensive gun uses from most of these studies puts it somewhere between 200,000 a year. And again, you know, you look at the numbers, a defensive gun use, you know, when you're talking about, more likely to kill right, a family member or whatnot, right, a defensive gun, and then right, only 300 of them are self-defense, a defensive gun use can just be showing the weapon
to
stop a rape.
We've got an emergency room physician who's seen the stuff firsthand.
Yeah, and Dave, if I may add, what I have seen when people are carrying weapons, when they have them easily accessible, is how quickly, and any police officer who can corroborate this, is how quickly it can accelerate a confrontation and destabilize a situation such that people start pulling out weapons, and what would have been, you know, a face-off or walking away, now people are shooting each other. You know, I saw plenty of that and where I trained.
By people who were legally carrying guns?
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
By people who were legally carrying their guns?
Oh.
Or were they criminals?
Legally had access to them. It was right there in their car. Right. It was right there in, in their home.
Okay.
I've seen plenty of gun violence as well by people who were committing crimes, and okay, to tell you the truth, I don't lose a lot of sleep over, you know, the drug dealers who were attacking each other. I just had to take care of them and try to save their lives.
Right.
But what I've seen, especially in, you know, our community since moving up here, the nature of the gun, the shootings that I've seen is exactly what Dr. Steve has described.
All right, Dr. Paul, thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to your phone calls, 543-8830. Any other response you want to make?
Well, if I've got the violent crime rate by state up here, and for the last year that they had numbers, and that's 2014. And again, violent crimes, robberies, rapes, assaults, murders. California was number 17th in the nation at 396.1 per 100,000.
All right.
Vermont was dead last at 99.3 per 100,000. Vermont has what's known as constitutional carry. You don't need a permit to carry a gun.
We got Corey on KVEC. Hi, Corey. Corey, you there? All right. How about Mike in Morro Bay? Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dave, this is Mark heading back in the Pomo.
Hi, hey, Mark. How are you?
Hello. Oh, I am great. Hey, I love Dr. Steve and Dr. Giorgio. I know them both, respect both of them. But one thing about the numbers is neither one of those doctors have seen the people who never show up because they haven't been shot. They see somebody after the event. So a defensive use of a handgun, as your guest was trying to establish, is likely to not require somebody to actually shoot another person. That's the last thing you want to do as a legal gun owner, is to actually shoot somebody.
So if you're not shooting them, what is it, just the fact that you show a gun? How does that work, Mark?
You know, Dave, it's called defense. So there's an escalation of defense. And when somebody realizes they're beaten, they'll find an easier target. Of course, the opposite of that argument is, I got to be home to do my defending. If my gun is at home and it's legally stored, somebody breaks in and steals it from my legal storage, they've taken responsibility for what they do to that with that weapon.
You understand what
so
I don't
it's
get
not
his
the
argument.
Legal gun owner once the job once it's been stolen, it's not the legal gun owner who's responsible for what happens to that later.
All right.
Well, I think what he's saying is part of those numbers of, you know, if you own a gun, your gun is more likely to, you know, kill someone is he's saying that if a gun is stolen from you and used to kill someone, but you're the legal owner, but it was stolen from you,
yeah,
then that kind of gooses that statistic.
All right. I got you. All right, Mark. Thank you. Now let me try Corey on KVEC. Corey, you with us?
Yes.
Hi, Corey. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Yes, I was a Coast Guard boarding officer in the 80s in Florida and on the high seas.
Okay.
And first of all, you never hear any statistics about people's lives that are saved by guns. And second, there were several times that I pulled my weapon either on duty or off duty. And we go through a training. It's called a judgmental. It's shoot or no shoot. And when you pull your gun, you have to make a decision. Is that a threat or is it not a threat? And the thing is that you're trained over and over again to make that decision, split-second decision. And that's the whole object of it. And the people that say if you pull your gun and aim it at somebody, well, you almost killed somebody. If that was true, every peace officer that pulls their gun on duty every single day, they're making the same judgment call. They pull their weapon, but they never pull the trigger 90% of the time.
Hang on a second, Corey. What do you say?
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with him. You know, again, you know, when they talk, when the doctors were talking these numbers, they're talking about people killed.
Right.
And there are hundreds of thousands of incidents a year where merely showing that you've got a firearm makes the criminal decide, well, I'll go for an easier target.
Right. Corey, what else from you?
Yeah, that's the main deal.
Okay.
And I do agree with making California a shell state, but they need to train people properly. I think it would reduce. If you look at two states like the Wyoming does not require a permit. You don't have a lot of incidences up there.
Well, nobody lives there.
I know, but everybody carries a gun and they don't have a permit.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's a good example. Corey, thank you. 543-8830. 1-800-549-5832. Matt Hoy, in response to the gun violence in this country, is arguing that people should be allowed to carry guns to protect themselves. What do you think about that? We've got Mike in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
Howdy, Dave.
Hi, Mike.
And Matt.
Hi, Mike.
And talking about these guns and stuff. And one thing we know about a gun is it does kill, period.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It kills. I've killed hundreds of animals in my lifetime. I've always lived on ranches. Most of them was for food. But it's always this one bullet. It is dead. You make the decision, pull that trigger, it's dead. Now, another thing, I also, in that period of time, I met a lot of idiots with guns, too. I mean, literally. I mean, I did not want to go hunting with them. And I was seeing people up in canyons drinking and drinking, in a circle of canyon, a buck jump out, run down, and it sounded
Can we come to the topic, Mike?
Can come to the topic here.
Okay.
There's just, so when a person comes to buy a gun or wants a gun, I'm not saying they can't have one, but I believe that maybe we ought to have better testing than just the 10-day or 11-day wait.
Bingo.
Like there's a personality test with a lot of questions, lots of papers. And maybe if they tested them more rigorously, right there at the spot, and they pass that, well, then that's putting them in a category where they have a responsibility and they're not a risk to anything. But you don't know that just by a guy going, oh, no, I do this and I do that. You don't know how he is when he's under alcohol.
Right. Matt, what do you say?
No, I agree to a certain extent. There is more than just a 10-day wait here in California. You've got to take a firearm safety test that costs $25 or so, and it's, I think, 25 questions, and you got to get 20 right. And if you go through the concealed carry training, you know, one thing that they try to make clear to you very quickly is, you know, a lot of people who watch too many movies or too gung-ho sit there and say, well, now I've got a gun. I don't have to take any crap from anybody. It is the exact opposite. Now that you have a gun, you have to take every piece of garbage from everyone up until your life is threatened. So if they're bad mouth and you call and you name, you've got to take it all. In fact, you're better off walking away.
All right, Mike, thank you. We move on. We've got Bob in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, I didn't hear the beginning of the segment, but I was wondering, was this theme of this that more people should be able to carry either permitted concealed or just carry, period?
That's what Matt's arguing, yes.
Okay. So we have all of these quote-unquote good guys with a gun out in the public carrying. Maybe they're trained, maybe they're not. And we have a situation with a bad guy with a gun. So one of the good guys pulls out his gun to start to protect or shoot if the case calls for it. And the police show up. How do they know who the good guy is and who the bad guy is?
That's a I give you that's a tough question. The thing is this does happen on a reasonably regular basis, and it's not a problem. So the good guy, the cops roll up on that. You're the good guy with the gun. You've got your gun out. The cops tell you to put it down. You put it down. The cops tell you to get on the ground. You get on the ground. You let them sort it out afterwards.
Okay.
That would be my response to that. And again, you go through the concealed carry training, and you know they tell you this sort of stuff, and a lot of it's common sense too. The previous caller talked about how he encountered lots of idiots with guns. There are idiots with guns. There are idiots without guns. There are idiots who drive cars poorly. They're out there.
So let's talk about the home defense issue then.
Okay.
Do you think that a handgun is the best weapon for home defense?
I think it depends. I think it depends on whether you live in a large home like a ranch in the out in the middle of nowhere versus whether you live in an apartment. I think it depends on whether you have kids, small children, versus whether you are older and live alone.
Well, see, it's what I have read in the past is that retired detectives, their opinion is a handgun is the worst weapon for most people for home defense because most people don't have the training to use it well. They have to take the time to aim well. If they miss, the bullet has such penetrating power that it can go through two or three other buildings before it stops, raising the likelihood of somebody else getting shot.
Well, that's,
and if you have a home, but somebody invading your home, and you have a pump shotgun, and you load a shell in the chamber, that noise is going to put the hair on the back of their neck up really quick, more so than any handgun will.
A couple things. First off, I agree that the sound of a pump shotgun is very much a kind of come to Jesus moment for most home invaders. As far as handgun bullets going through walls. They can. Most defensive handguns have use hollow points or some other guns, bullets like that, which generally do not go through walls. Rifles are far more likely to go through multiple walls and buildings than a handgun is. Far more likely.
All right, Bob. Thank you. By the way, for taking the next call, Matt Hoy, I'll send you the link. Harvard Political Review, it's The Good Guy with a Gun Myth. And it just goes through all these examples. That's what I was trying to think of. Here's Will in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Will.
Evening, gentlemen. Hey. My dear departed dad often said, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And, for instance, as a psychologist, I know that most people who fail in a suicide attempt don't try again. So if they don't have a gun handy, there's much more likelihood they're going to fail in their suicide attempt, and then they are not likely to try again. There's also a major study that shows the weakest gun law states have the highest homicide and suicide rate, and vice versa for the strongest. But my key point is, you know, I knew a talk show guy said, when I was tired and I didn't want to prepare, I just started my show by saying, gun control, for or against, give me a call. And then he just sat back and let the people argue. We are not going to settle this with statistics. The statistics are on the side of gun control. That doesn't matter. People mostly get guns for a psychological reason. It's not a rational reason. It's a psychological reason. And most of those psychological reasons are not healthy. So the solution, I guess, is to improve people's psychological sense of well-being. But until we do, they're going to keep buying their guns. They're going to keep killing each other and the rest of us in the process. But you just can't argue with people with statistics when they're doing their behavior for a psychological reason.
I think we can all agree, Matt, that mental health should be a priority.
I certainly do. I am certainly for more counseling. I just don't think that because someone is going to use a gun to commit suicide means that I have to be disarmed.
All right. What about that, Will?
The more powerfully you feel a need to own a gun, the less sound you are psychologically. I have plenty of anecdotal and research evidence for that. The more you want a gun, the more you feel you need a gun to feel okay, the less you should have it.
We'll pursue that another time. Thank you, Will. Mike is in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? I've got a question for you. Have either of you ever been to Dachau or Auschwitz?
No, I haven't.
I have not.
I don't want to go to Dachau or Auschwitz. I've seen that what happens there with people who are unarmed. Does anybody think it can't happen here? Look at Wounded Knee. Look at the Native Americans, what they've done to them. That's why I own guns.
Well, actually, the people in the Warsaw Ghetto were armed, and it didn't do them any good.
Yeah, they were armed, but they weren't well enough armed, and they weren't enough of them armed. But I tell you, I'd rather be armed and fighting the Warsaw Ghetto against them with guns than being taken to Auschwitz and dying in a concentration camp.
All right, Mike. I appreciate the call. Let me squeeze in George in Santa Margarita. Hey, George.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, George, you got about a minute.
Okay, well, I'm a gun owner. I have a CCW. I personally don't like to carry it because if anyone done it a lot, it's a hassle. But there are times I do carry, and for personal safety in remote areas where there are people that are so very unsavory. But, you know, it is a hassle, and there's consequences. So if anybody discharges a firearm, there's going to be some very big consequences, whether you're right or wrong. And I'm with your guest. I think he's very rational. The people that have been calling in with these cooked books, I think, just are anti-guns.
They're emergency room.
George, I don't want to tell a person that.
George, they're emergency room physicians.
Sure, but there's a lot of people that get. How many people can get overdosed and die? I mean, you can go down the list or. I mean, ethnicities, you know, there's, if you want to pick any subject matter, you can come up with books that are going to make that look like the reason why. So, yes, guns are dangerous, but there is training for that. And in some countries, they require that you have a gun. So, and some counties in this country require that you have a gun, and crime goes way down because of it.
We are out of time, George. Thank you. We'll come back and wrap things up with Matt Hoy. I'm Dave Congleton. AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Matt Hoy, your website is?
HoyStory.com.
Good job, sir. Thanks for coming in. I'll give you 20 seconds for a final thought.
I'm all for training. I'm all for but I'm also for responsible gun owners being able to carry a gun in public to defend themselves and their loved ones. One of your callers said that the states with the toughest gun laws have the lowest murder rates. Vermont had the lowest violent crime by state in 2014, 99.3 per 100,000, and right. They have constitutional carry. No permit needed.
Thank you, Matt.
Carry a gun.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Dave Congleton. Have a good night.